More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Idaho rivers were once home to one of the country's largest salmon runs. Today, however, those same salmon are headed toward extinction. For more than 50 years, this decline has had far-reaching effects on the state's ecosystem and cultural identity, which is why many groups are fighting to bring these fish back to our waterways. Mitch Cutter, a salmon and energy strategist with the Idaho Conservation League, and Dennis Daw, the Fish and Wildlife Program Director for the Upper Snake River Tribes Foundation, will be talking more about this effort next week at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in Boise. And they're joining us now with a preview. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Dennis, let me begin with you. Can you give us a bit of history on Idaho salmon and steelhead? What did their numbers used to look like?
So prior to European development in the Columbia River Basin, the Columbia River Basin was home to an estimated 10 to 16 million anadromous fish that included salmon and steelhead. Of those, an estimated 1.7 million would have migrated upriver past where the Hells Canyon Dam complex currently sits. Most of that loss has occurred in the early 1900s, with the first dams being built in 1890s, followed by the Bureau of Reclamation building dams in all of the tributaries upriver of where the Hells Canyon complex is, except for the Weezer by the 1930s. And the final nail in the coffin that extirpated salmon from the Upper Snake was the Hells Canyon complex in the 1950s and 60s.
So Dennis, what does it look like today in comparison?
There are zero salmon or steelhead upriver of the Hells Canyon complex. Mm-hmm. Hells Canyon complex is a dam in Hells Canyon. It's the terminal point for upriver migration of anadromous fish.
So, Mitch, can we talk about the fish themselves for a moment? What do their migration patterns look like?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different species that we're talking about here. So Chinook, steelhead, coho, sockeye among them. But in general, all of these fish are anadromous, right? So these are fish that are born in the state of Idaho, in a tributary stream or a lake somewhere, spend, you know, 1, maybe 2 years here in the state, and then get ready to get pushed downstream by the current. And they go out to the ocean in the springtime. They spend anywhere between 2 and 4 years out in the ocean. And then they decide to come back, and they come back hundreds of miles and thousands of feet in elevation, in some cases all the way back as far as the Upper Salmon River, way up by Stanley. And that is the longest migration of just about any anadromous fish species anywhere in the world. And so that's their life history. Then those fish will spawn, the next generation of fish lay their eggs in the gravel, and then die and sort of feed that next generation with their carcasses and all the nutrients they bring from the ocean.
But Mitch, we do know it's very difficult for these fish to actually make it to Stanley. I mean, there have been times where, I mean, literally there's been one fish that's made it.
It is. So we have this sort of dichotomy where in Idaho, we have this really excellent habitat that is really great now and will continue to be great through the incoming impacts of climate change, sort of retain that cold water, high elevation character. But this migratory pathway that these fish have to go through is just fraught with dangers. You know, there's 8 different dams that all of these fish coming from Idaho have to pass to get down to the Pacific and then have to repass on their way back up. There's predators that are really only native to these reservoirs created by the dams. And then there's the dams also create hot water on the lower Columbia and the lower Snake that really threatens some of these fish that migrate mostly during the summertime.
So Mitch, what kind of role do salmon play in our state's ecosystem?
Yeah, so there's been a few studies that have pointed out that salmon provide nutrients for over 130, almost 140 different animal and plant species in the Northwest. That ranges from, you know, sort of the obvious ones like other fish and bears and eagles, all the way to trees that are absorbing those nutrients through those bears and eagles. And on the other end of the system, there's southern resident orcas that are native to the Pacific coast that also feed a huge portion of Chinook salmon in particular. And the Snake River used to be the primary producer of Chinook salmon anywhere in the Northwest. And now those runs are down to less than 1% of what they were historically, like Dennis was talking about. And so the loss of that food source has meant big things for forest health, for other critters that live here in Idaho, and also for those killer whales or those orcas off in the Pacific Ocean.
And Dennis, how have these dwindling numbers impacted Idaho's tribal communities?
It's been devastating to the tribal communities. I work for four tribes, the Shoshone-Bannock tribes out of Fort Hall Indian Reservation, the Shoshone-Paiute tribes out of the Duck Valley Indian Reservation, the Paiute-Shoshone tribes out of Fort McDermitt Indian Reservation, and then the Burns Paiute tribe from Burns, Oregon. Of those four tribes, the Shoshone-Bannock tribes of Fort Hall are the only ones that have a ratified treaty that gives them off-reservation hunting and fishing rights. The other three tribes have signed treaties, but those treaties were never ratified by the U.S. government. And so they don't have recognized off-reservation hunting and fishing rights. And so the only one of the four tribes that have access to fish for salmon is the Shoshone-Bannock tribes. Mm-hmm. The other three tribes have been blocked for nearly 100 years to salmon. So culturally, it has been a huge hit from a food standpoint. Salmon used to be the basis for the the main food that they would consume. And so with the loss of that, it has caused a lot of issues, not only culturally and demographically, but just health-wise.
Mm-hmm. And Mitch, there are also economic repercussions for wider river communities. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah. So, you know, I think in Idaho, everybody's familiar with some of these towns that are river towns, right? So Riggins, Salmon, Orofino, other places that really depend on waterways and reliable runs of fish that are coming through them. A quick anecdote is that back in 2000, a relatively strong Chinook run brought 25% of all of the revenue that Riggins got in the whole year. And it goes beyond, guides, fishing guides and outfitters and bait shops and stuff, but it goes to hotels, gas stations, restaurants, anything else that people are using when they come here to our state to experience these fish. And as long as these fish aren't here reliably or, fisheries are being closed, that economic impact does not exist. And so we really face the threat of some of these small towns that I think everybody in Idaho knows and loves just drying up. And that's what this decline is going to cause here in these states if we don't do something, or here in these towns if we don't do something to fix it.
So I have about a minute left, Mitch. Do you feel hopeful that salmon populations can someday return to what they used to be, or a semblance of that?
I do. And what really gives me more faith than anything is the resilience of these fish. You know, we've had salmon and steelhead in the Northwest for tens of thousands of years. They've gotten through a lot worse than some of the things that we're experiencing right now, and they've come back. And I think if you give these fish half a chance by opening up that migratory corridor and reducing some of the other pressures that we're putting on them, they will take full advantage of that in their existing habitat here in the state. That's, again, so good. And also in, potentially some of the other habitat that Dennis and the Upper Snake River Tribes Foundation is working on too.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for taking time to talk with us about this. We've been speaking with Mitch Cutter, a salmon and energy strategist with the Idaho Conservation League, along with Dennis Daw, the Fish and Wildlife Program Director for the Upper Snake River Tribes Foundation. We've been talking about restoring salmon and steelhead populations to Idaho rivers. They will actually be talking more in depth about this next Monday, November 18th, at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in Boise. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.